Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your girl Mitzi, and this is Mitzi. Let's think about it. Today, we are thinking about the power of your sacred desire and sexuality. You know, that's a big one, you know. So, luckily for me, I brought Sasha back on my show because I had such a lovely time the first time around when we thought of, excuse me, when our topic was about sacred intimacy. So now we're going to dive in a little deeper because that's what it's all about, is diving in deeper. So thank you again, Sasha, for coming on my show. How are you?
I am juicy.
I love that, juicy.
I'm juicy. And you, I mean, you feel that way to me too. Just like this woman and I, we could just go into it. We don't need, you know, like, I am just here. You're here. Let's go. Let's bite in. Let's enjoy.
Yes. Yeah. So let's go ahead and rip off that band-aid and really think about it. What does it mean? Or what do you think about when you hear the power of your sacred desire and sexuality? Like, what are your thoughts?
Well, when you said rip the band-aid off, I'm like, ooh, that's an interesting, you know, visual and just experience, visceral. I'm like, ooh, like, what does that mean? So there's a reason why you said that. And as you know, my work is intuitive guidance. So whenever something like this, like what you said, happens and my body responds, I will see, right, what that signal to me is. Like, what are we talking about? So that ripping off of the band-aid, that really is what it's about, because we have been conditioned and we have grown up in cultures, most of us. We've been conditioned and our parents have been conditioned, right, in different ways to not just not talk about sexuality in a way that's really empowering, right? And not, we talk about it, right? But not in ways that are empowering and inspiring and feel like they're healing, right? So, I mean, some people do. This is not a blanket statement, but most people, myself included, and people that I know, regardless, my clients, right? Regardless of how spiritually evolved people are and how progressive, like my parents, very progressive, we never talked about sex. Right? We never talked about sexuality. We never really addressed the subject of what it means to be an embodied feminine being and, you know, how to invite the healthy masculine into your life. And, you know, we're talking beyond my work is beyond gender and, you know, sexual preference. This is not just about heterosexual sexuality, but since I am a heterosexual woman, mostly, although I'm open, I would say that, you know, for me, it's been a real challenge to see in my work how everything comes back to what we repress, right? What we're ashamed of, what we're denying, which is the concept of shadow work, right? So again, looking at the darkness, and I know last time I was on your show, we talked a little bit about everything that, you know, I'm working on in the world, which is just help not just transcend our shadows and say, okay, well, I got over my ego, you know, and now you can't get over it. It's part of the experience, right?
Yeah.
But what you do is reconnect, really reclaim and start practicing the embodiment of your truth, right? The true self, which the ego's there, right? Yeah. But that's who you are. And so when we speak about sexuality, ripping off the band-aid is really that. It's ripping off the band-aid over the shame, the conditioned, almost aversion, fear, right? The fear of being hurt, fear of being judged, fear of being told that you're not good enough, that you don't belong, that something is wrong with you. And back to desire, ripping off the band-aid, that the desire that you are holding back really is a bleeding wound, right? So when you said that, I was like, this is it. I've never even experienced that viscerally. I was like, oh, that's it. That's the power of your, again, sacred desire, right? There are different ways of exploring desire. And I know, again, in the Buddhist tradition, you know, desire is, you know, like, well, that's the path to suffering, right? You're attached to your desire. Of course, when it's your mind's desire, when it's your ego desire, when it's a conditioned desire, for example, I have a desire to be well-known in the world and well-liked, right? Mm-hmm. And is it really my heart's desire? No, it's a survival mechanism, which my ego then turns into the only way you'll be accepted, worthy, loved, feel good about yourself is if people tell you, yay, you're pretty, you're sexually attractive, you're good. Also, you don't, right, get to do anything that people might not like, including express your sexuality, express your true desires, feel your power and really live it, right? That frightens not just people, it frightens the world because, oh my God, right? There's a human being, especially when it's a woman, in her power. She's not trying to oppress. She's not trying to control. She's just standing in her power and radiating it, saying, we get to be who we are. We get to feel worthy just because we are. And that includes owning really understanding, right, the depth of your heart's desire, discerning between the heart and the ego, right? It's like saying, I want to learn to fly a plane. Well, let's learn about the plane. Let's learn about dynamics in this, you know, basically let's learn about physics, right? Let's understand the concepts we're going to explore when we fly the plane first. So when we talk about owning your sacred desire and sacred sexuality, it really brings us to the question of, do you know how to connect to your heart? Do you know how to hear your gut, your womb, your sacred sexual center? Do you know how to interpret that desire and reconnect it to your heart so your heart can actually express to you, yes, you may have a desire, right, that you're repressing that is sacred. I want to have, you know, wild sex with my partner, for example, and I want it to look this way. Right. But I don't know how to express it. I feel ashamed of it. I've been told it's wrong. My partner doesn't know anything about it. He'll probably judge me, or, you know, she'll judge me. They will judge me, whatever. I can't. So you start repressing it. It still starts manifesting, bleeding right under the Band-Aid, like basically pathology. Yeah. Right. So your body starts creating ways to express it in ways that aren't healthy so that you pay attention. Right. Like that's where, like, oh God, there is like, oh my God, like, let me look at this wound. Like, we need to do something about it. So, and back to the sacred desire, your desire for wild, outrageous, right? Like that expression of your physical yearning for union, which is something I work with because everything is in the body. It's the quickest way to go to the desire underneath it, because there is one underneath it, and that's how we sanctify it. That's how we purify it. That's how we actually understand that, wait, this is not only not evil, dark, shameful, you know, disgusting. It's actually the path to my divinity. Because underneath desire for wild, outrageous lovemaking, for example, is a deeper, right, an integral yearning for union, wholeness, and the discovery of divinity through another body, which means that you get to witness yourself and another with that radical, right, love and compassion and acceptance that you are sacred, you are perfect and whole, because I am. And my desire for you is an expression of my desire for that divinity in myself and in you to be present, right? I'm calling out your divinity. That's what that desire is actually about. So it is about sex. It's about pleasure. It's about expressing yourself. It could be something else, right? I'm desiring to write a book, children's book, right? And I want it to be this. And oh my God, people are going to think I'm crazy. That's a desire. But underneath that, Mitzi, and you know this, isn't a desire to write a book so that people like you as a writer and they start buying your books and you make money. That's your ego interpretation. And you're like, oh, that's bad. I don't want to do that. That's no. But no, you do want to do that. But there is a different frequency of that desire that you haven't tapped into. And until you do, you won't express that desire as that aligned, purposeful, powerful expression of love, right? It won't feel that way to you. Like, yeah. I want money. It doesn't feel to me the same way as I want to create more healing in the world by being who I am and expressing my gifts and serving, which includes all the lessons I need to learn, all the failures, quote unquote. I'm here for all of it. It includes receiving a wonderful amount of money so I can live right really well and support myself. That's it. That's a very different expression of that desire, right? So, So that's what sacred desire is about. And it's always connected somehow to our sexuality, because our sexuality, and in Tantra, sexuality has to be part of the equation in most tradition, not all, but most, because that's our capacity to create and express ourselves. And it starts at the literally root of our body when we're born. I am here. I'm alive. I desire, right? I want air. I want my mother's milk. I want to express my needs. Ha! That's desire. Manifesting is a sacred call for life, right? Mm-hmm. And then what do we do? Like, you got me to take care of you. Let me feed you. Hopefully, right? In a good environment, that's what happens. In a non-healthy environment, which is what most of us experience, is your desires are wrong. I don't care about your needs. I think I know better what your needs are. Listen to me. And if yours don't align with mine, I'm going to tell you something's wrong with you, right? And then you will stop believing my needs are wrong, my desires are wrong, something's wrong with me if even thinking, feeling about it. Forget trying to reconnect to the part of me that desires anything true. Let me create a world where I desire what you tell me to desire so that I fit in.
Wow. Oh my goodness, Sasha. This has been 10 minutes in, and you have given so many great points that my mind is literally just rolling with thoughts, because it's You're on point. Nothing that you said has I have I ever thought of in a way that the way that you brought it up. You know what I mean? Because our sexuality is our core, is it is our core foundation. And having that vulnerability attached to it because of all the generational traumas that they've had with their sexuality that they passed down, that they've repressed ours to the point where it's not feasible to even imagine even talking about this, you know? And I think that's why this generation is considered to be so bold because we are breaking those generational curses. You know, we are speaking about our sexuality, we are speaking about our traumas, we are speaking about what has hurt us and what continues to linger in our minds. And you know, we are not afraid to hold back at what our thoughts are. And I think that's the beauty of this change that's happening. Because when you said that, excuse me, that the blood was oozing out and you have to sit and you see it through the band-aid, it just shows that our pain is literally seeping out. You know, I usually use that analogy, rip off the band-aid to get it started, but man, you made me rethink about changing it up here and there with each person because you brought that to a different light where I don't want nobody to contaminate your version anymore. You know what I mean? You said it so perfect. Like, no, nobody else is allowed to speak after Sasha after that. I think that's so beautiful. But I got a question though. You know, because you spoke about desire a lot, and you spoke about it in relations to ego, and I've spoke to other people, and a lot of the times, desire and fantasy get mixed in. So what is your thoughts and your opinions on how to separate your fantasies versus your desires?
Yeah, beautiful question. I don't feel like I've ever heard that asked in that way. Thank you. So let me feel into it.
Yes.
It's true. So what I am feeling, receiving, is that a desire really is an expression of a fantasy that is coming through you, for you to create. So when we talk about manifestation, right, everything we see manifested, you and I included, right? So that was something that was manifested. Let's see, I'm looking at a plant, I'm looking at you, Mitzi, you were manifested as an expression of a fantasy that created the desire to birth you in a being in this world, right? And it's not a conscious, I want to create a child called Mitzi, you know, and she'll be, but it's a desire, right? So I want to create something in the world. My yearning in my body is telling me I want to have a child. I want to be a mother, right? Again, this is where the feminine comes in. If we don't have that desire, nothing's going to happen, right? So, and to see, so there are two ways of looking at it, and I'll come to it. The way that I'm interpreting in this moment, the purity of it is that everything was once, right? Just a dream in this global, universal, absolutely you can't explain what it is, right? It's not cold, but it's this endless field of potentiality, right? That's the void of cosmos, right? Where all the planets are born, where they go to die, right? Where we come from, we return. We can talk about it from different perspectives, but we know it's real out there, right? Planets are being born and they die. And the planets we see aren't actually there right now in this way, right? So we're seeing the, so all of this just understanding that we don't understand, right? But there is this endless potentiality of creating new worlds in the world, right? The world of Mitzi, the world of Sasha, the world out there that I'm obviously interpreting, creating as me, as you. We're seeing the same thing, but we're not, right? We're living the same thing, but not, right? So we're telling a similar story, but we're not. And yet, in that, it's the same sacred story of what can I birth in this world, man or woman, gender non-binary, I don't care. What do I want to birth in this world? What do I want to offer as my soul's gift, as the seed I get to plant here, being who I am, the plant that's never existed until I was, so that I make it better, right? And then I'm good. So the fantasy is there is this cosmic consciousness. This is how I see it. So you can think about, again, just this like black hole, right? And there is this of, I don't know, right, anything about this black hole, like it's endless, but it wants to learn a little bit more about its potential, its power. What is it here for? Why does it even exist? It doesn't know. So it's like, I have, so this black hole, this void of consciousness, again, we can call it, let's call it for fun, to trigger all the things that we need to trigger, the divine masculine incarnate, right? So, which is not male, right? It's just consciousness, my capacity to be present and aware without attachment, right? There's a plant, there's Mitzi. I have no feeling. I have no thought about it. I just see, right? Mm-hmm. I'm seeing, this is you. As soon as I start interpreting, creating stories, my feelings, right, come in and start helping me, my thoughts come in, and then I create beliefs. Mitzi is a good person. Mitzi likes me. Mitzi has a good podcast. Mitzi wants to learn more about me, right? All of that, that's my feminine. I am creating the world. I'm feeling, I'm allowing myself to create a story. I'm living it, right? I'm embodying it. I'm obviously giving you this energy that you're receiving from me. You're like, oh, Sasha's transmitting. She's happy and she wants to be here and she wants to share. So the dance of the masculine, the feminine. So back to fantasy. The fantasy that's being created in service to this world is the seed of consciousness that is devoid of any kind of attachment, right? It's simply, I wonder how cool this is going to be, right? This is a fantasy. I have this fantasy. Wouldn't it be incredible? Curiosity, right? Wouldn't it be awesome if Mitzi and Sasha went into the world and Sasha became an intuitive coach and Mitzi became an entrepreneur and a writer and a mother, and they came together and had this conversation and they talked about something that other people would consider really helpful and help them in the healing of their shame. Wouldn't that be cool? Let's create an opportunity for that to happen. The fantasy is, wouldn't it be cool to create an opportunity for healing in this world? Okay. It's being planted in your heart. It's being planted in my heart. My fantasy is, I show up in the world and people want to learn how I can gift them. Your fantasy is, I show up in the world and I want to create in the way that gifts this world and I feel good about it. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It manifests as desire, right? This is the desire is, I want to become a coach. I want to become a shamanic practitioner. I want to work with tantric practice. Right now, I'm really deeply ingrained in that. Why? It's a desire. But the fantasy is, I want to be of service in the world and play the role that my soul came here to play, right? As the one that I am, unique and completely, right? Irreplaceable, but also part of the grid of the whole. Yeah. The fantasy that most people sometimes allude to, I have a fantasy sexually, for example. Again, the purity is, that is the seed that then creates the desire. I have this vision. Mm-hmm. And now my body, if it's aligned in your body, right? Your heart, not your ego, your heart responds, ooh, we like this. We like this. So again, the Greeks have this concept of genius. That's where it comes from. It can seed, right? And if you activate it, right? It's like, oh, I have earth. I'm going to plant it here. I'm going to take care of it. I can do this. You can see it. People will just make it happen, right? It doesn't matter what obstacles are. No, it's part of the journey. It's part of the journey. I need to do it. And then it grows, right? So like, okay, my fantasy created the desire. It was aligned. I went for it. I had doubts, but they were part of the journey. And I went all in. And now I have the manifestation of my desire. The other side of it, the shadow side of fantasy, is when it comes from, like I said, this distortion, right, of repressed desire, where you don't acknowledge the actual truth of what it is that's moving your desire, right? You're literally closing it down. You're like, no, there's something I want. I can't really be with it because it's ugly and dirty and I don't want to look at my shadows, right? And so I'm just going to say, I have a fantasy of a threesome. Now, there's nothing wrong with a threesome. Beautiful, of course, let's go for it. But when it comes out from something you're repressing and you're ashamed of, and you're trying to get something that you can't get anywhere else, for example, you don't feel loved, nourished, and nurtured in your relationship, and you're like, well, maybe this will give me the attention I need because there'll be two people there. Or maybe this will make a partner jealous, so then I'll get more, whatever. Not saying that's how it is always or that it should be that way. No.
Yeah.
You go when you want to play. Wonderful. Let's explore our sexuality. Let's play. Let's connect to the divine and work on our shadows in the meantime, right? All of that is great. And the skewed fantasy is, I just want that. And then you don't realize that underneath is the yearning for attention and love and nurture that you're not giving yourself. So until you do, right, until you feel whole, that will manifest as this fantasy that actually isn't really achievable. It will never look the way that you imagine, right? And you will never actually manifest it in the way that you imagine, because what you're imagining from the place of closing down the true desire, your heart, right? It's like, I want love, right? I want love. And you're saying, no, I just want to have sex with many people. No, what you want is love. Yes, you want to have, but really what you want is love. So until you acknowledge that and that you feel that you lack it, the fantasy will come out as, let me go get it. Like, let me go get it. Right? Let me get it, which means let me go smell the flower. Let me then pull it out of the earth and eat it. I got my desire, right? My fantasy was this. I got it. Will it satisfy you? Absolutely not. You will want more. So this is now, we always want more, right? But this will be the more of greed, right? Constant dissatisfaction with what you have because you don't feel worthy of what you have, and a feeling of shame around the actual fantasy, right? Oh, I have a fantasy, but it's wrong. I shouldn't want that because, you know, I'm with my partner. I'll tell you right now, I have a fantasy. My fantasy is there's your good word. I have a fantasy of making mad love to a woman and a man. Since I was little, Mitzi, like since I was like 2, I had a vision of it. Am I ashamed of it? Absolutely not. Now, I could be, right? Because like, now here's the thing. What I realize is actually that's my expression of how I want to relate to God. I want the feminine to come in and nurture me so that I could feel loved and supported and I can feel that creative energy in me and I'm safe.
Yeah.
And then that place, I want the masculine to come in and plant that seed of this is what you're going to create in the world. Let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me lead you. Let me make it non-negotiable. You're going to live your purpose, right? So that's a threesome energetically, right? So I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. And if and when and however I want to manifest it, it will come from that place. I know what it's about. I know what it's, yeah, not, oh, I'm trying to express something I'm repressing. I should be ashamed. No. And the fantasy, right? The fantasy is not, I want to have this and get it. The fantasy, I want to experience more love in the flavor that my soul wants it. That's the fantasy. I don't know what it's looking like because it's a fantasy, but my desire will help me manifest it. And it will never look like my fantasy because the manifestation of it will be in 3D matter. It will look different, but it will be even more accurate to what my soul wants, right? So that fantasy that's ambiguous in my mind will be bleak because I can't even fathom of what's like possible in this world for me, right? When that plant is in my plant is in my heart, right? When that seed is in my heart and it sprouts a plant, I know what it's going to look like. But back to your question, the fantasy is pure so long as you receive it. It's almost like it's a code, right? That you're putting in your computer. And there is this great consciousness that put in a code. That's your fantasy. Like, I want to create this program out there. I don't know what it's look like, but it's going to be good. And then the desire is, what do I need? How do I do this? Let me make it happen. I want a computer. I want to learn how to do this. I need people to test it with, right? I need to offer it to people. I want to create some money. Absolutely, because I want to make sure it's of value. That's the desire manifesting as then this program that we can call Mac OS X. I don't know, right? So X.
I think so that's beautiful.
To that. Yeah, your fantasy, but they're not real.
That's a great statement. You know, the way that you put it together, it really makes you think about fantasies in a different way. And you have to kind of be well put together, it sounds like, because the way that you described it, I was thinking of questions, but then you already answered them with the more that you talk. So I was like, okay, then I had another question, but then you answered it when you were talking. So I was just like, okay. So the real answer is to be able to handle your fantasies and your desires and your sexualities, you kind of have to, one, know yourself.
Yes.
Two, healing in the process of healing, because let's be honest, you're continuously healing. It's not just, oh, I'm healed, I'm better now. Oh, the perfect person. No, that's not a thing. No one's ever going to be fully healed. No. But as long as you start healing and start recognizing your toxicity and recognizing your own flaws and recognizing where the root is coming from, then you'll know how to decipher what's going on inside of you. Yes. You know, because that's what it sounds like. Because let's be honest, we're constantly going through so many things inside of us that once you're able to quiet your mind and then really get to a silent place, you're able to decipher what is actually coming from a good place.
Yes.
What's coming from your intuition, your heart, your soul, however people want to decipher it to be. You know what I mean? You're able to decipher what's coming in that's junk. Because let's be honest, junk comes in all the time to test you. Are you going to grab it? Because they like to throw things in the air. Yeah. And if you catch it, well, then you may run with it, or you can drop it where it's at and leave it be. And people don't realize with our thoughts, to not let it to become so perverted or to become so obsessed and have it become something that it should never be. And I think that's where sexuality becomes something where it's not supposed to be, and it becomes something where it's, like you said, shameful and vulnerable, and people feel so vulnerable because you're naked, you know what I mean? Majority of the time when you're having sex, you're naked, you know? And when you're naked, you're exposed where everything can be hurt and everything can be seen and everything is just there in the open. And judgment comes in and all these things, but it all comes down to your inner self. So when you have that healing process in the beginning, you know, like, you know what? It's not just me. That person's going through their own thing. I have no reason to keep it to myself and hold on to that idea, because it's an idea, you know. And we and I love the point when you said it, plants, because it makes me realize, like, we plant these ideas and we allow it to grow. So you have this fantasy of let's say when you brought up my book, yeah, I have this fantasy of a child, of a children's book, and it took time for me to plant it, to have it. Now it's become my desire to want it to be out into the world. And once I did, boom, there you go. That's my plant. That's my baby. Now you guys have it as well. And that's the beautiful thing, is you were able to put it down where I was like, I don't have to separate my fantasies and my desires. I don't have to shake off my fantasies every time they come, because in reality, I can make that become real. You know what I mean? I have the potential to use that desire to manifest it into my own life, to become my own reality in, like you said, a distorted way of my fantasy, because nothing's ever going to be how we imagine it to be. But when you said, oh, because at that point, that's when I thought of disappointment. I was like, oh, that's why a lot of people get disappointed. But in reality, when you're in that healing process, you're not disappointed, because you can acknowledge it, that this is what you've been praying for. This is what you've been hoping for. This is what you've been desiring. This is what you've been writing down and striving for. And it's still beautiful in its moment. And I think that's when people need to tap into gratitude. You know what I mean? Because that's when you are able to acknowledge what's happening in front of you. Yeah, in a full circle. I mean, what are your thoughts on gratitude when it comes to having?
So what everything you said, I mean, that's so beautiful, because again, your sacred desire will be expressed in your mind, your psyche, right? Not your ego mind, but yes, your ego will run with it. Like you said, it's trying to distract you, but the actual pure fantasy, right, is that potential, right? It's like, I want a book, right? I want to create this. I want to make love. I want to dance, right? I want to go travel. And I'm bringing it back always to the metaphors of sacred union in physical form, right? Because it's easier for us to grasp, right? But it's really energetic, right? It's like, I want to make love to the world. That's what this is about, right? God and goddess, right? That's it. Like in my work, I work with the goddess archetypes. Why? They're the manifestation of the God, right? They're not better or worse. They're one whole, right? But for it to be understood by our minds, it's helpful, right? To have these archetypes, to have these deities, oh, my desire, my fantasy, right? So back to gratitude. Gratitude, right, is that capacity to recognize, like you said, that my instrument has produced this tune. And if I know the healing process, to me, the healing process is about attuning your instrument. There's nothing flawed, there's nothing wrong. Are you going to blame a guitar that's out of tune and say something's wrong with this guitar? It's flawed. No, it's out of tune. And guess what? It's going to be out of tune tomorrow too. I don't care how well you play it today. Is going to be out of tune again. Why? That's the nature of reality. Matter moves, energy is constantly moving and shifting. It's not just natural, it's law, right? So yes, you, just like your guitar, will come out of tune through being human, being in the world. Yes, you will take on energies, you will learn things, you will start discerning certain things and start transforming things. Things are going to start moving in your body. Where you are aware, right back, where you're aware of the process of healing, you start becoming embodied, right? And actually practice, and this is my work with my clients, really practicing, devoting yourself to the practice of learning to play your instrument, which includes attuning your instrument, which is your physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual body, which is one, which is in your physical body, and actually working with it every single day so that you could feel what you just said, that expression. And I'm coming to your answer, because the answer to gratitude, it isn't trying to convince yourself that you should be grateful, right? Well, to some people, maybe it works. Again, this is the outside in approach, right? It's like reading affirmation, nothing wrong with that. But when it comes for me, it doesn't work. And the people that I work with, the way that we work however works for them, right? But what works most effectively, although it's not as, let's just say, quick in terms of manifesting, is from within, right? Where you become the affirmation. If I know in my body, I am abundant. I know it's not because I'm trying to, I just know my body knows, like I am, and I'm practicing actually living and transmitting it. I literally have to learn to play that song, right? In everything, which means self-awareness, which means my healing process, back to the process, is attuning my instrument and then playing my song every day. That's my healing process. And every day, a little bit out of tune, back to tuning. Guess what? My song becomes crisper every day because there is more potential in me because I become a more skilled practitioner, musician, artist. And because I'm building on what I already created, right? So my tune then grows and becomes harmonious with other people, but I'm ready, right? To collaborate, to co-create, fit for service, right? In this world. So the gratitude is a natural byproduct of that, because when you play that song, when you express your desire and you know that sacred fantasy will manifest however it needs to through you, right? You're not trying to, it has to sound like Jingle Bells. I don't know what it's going to sound like. My fantasy is going to sound something like a Christmas tune, because that's what I'm getting as a fantasy, right? Me, Christmas music. Okay. What it comes out as will be even better. It might be exactly like what I thought. We don't know. It might be very different, but either way, it will be exactly what my soul desires. So it will absolutely correspond to my fantasy in some way. I know that. I trust it. Back to embodied. I'm already grateful. I already, like, it's almost like I'm anticipating the taste of it, right? You go into a restaurant, like, I know it's going to be good. It's that. Yeah. But you don't, you might get something completely different than you did yesterday, and you were expecting it to nourish you because that's what you came for, right? So back to gratitude. I am grateful before the manifestation of the thing that I think I should get so that I can be grateful arrives. That's how it works. And when it arrives, holy crap, I should be more grateful right now because that this is like so good, right? And so it's not shooting yourself from that place of shame, but it's like, well, actually, I'm even more, holy crap, thank you. Like, can I just take a moment? So yes, having a gratitude practice helps you deepen that. Right? Like, wait, I'm grateful. I know I am, but I think I can go a little bigger right now. So this is back to, again, the concept of gratitude isn't I got what I wanted, is I created what my heart asked me to, and I did it fully. And I'm grateful to me, and I'm grateful to my heart's desire, and I'm grateful to that which created whatever came through me, because it is what was supposed to happen. It's perfect, and my heart knows it, and that's all I need to know. And so I'm grateful because the process is nourishing, the process is healing, the process is fulfilling, and the process is helping me discover who I am, so long as I start from the place, and you said something really important, of actually being aware that that's my deepest desire, is to know me, not as a person, but as this expression of the divine in this human body every single day, to learn more of that. That's my deepest fantasy and yearning. What is she going to look like today? What is, I don't know. And I'm so grateful because I get to discover it. I get to discover it. And only I will know if it's true, right? And when I know it's true, I know, holy crap, I am so beyond grateful that I get to live the truth of who I am in this moment. And nobody knows, nobody cares, and I don't need them to, but they get to experience me in that. And that is a gift, and that is healing. And I know that's why I'm here, and I'm grateful.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Oh, yeah. This conversation was beautiful. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your perspective. I appreciate everything that you brought to the table, because you did bring a lot. You brought so many great points. If I had mics falling all over the place, man, they would be, because you brought some great points. The mic drops everywhere. Goodness gracious. Thank you. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys are listening and you are just intrigued as I always am when I have Sasha on my show, please check her out. She has such a lovely website. Just going onto her website, you can already, I mean, for me, I'm someone that senses energy and spirituality really, really good. And that's the reason why I think we connect so well, that just going onto your website, you can feel your sincerity. You can feel the sincerity of what you're trying to do in this movement, in this life, and in your life, you know, in your true purpose. And I thank you for that, because not a lot of people are transparent and authentic. And you are, Sasha. You are projecting out everything that your heart has inside. And I thank you for that, because more people need to be that way. So please check her out. I have her lovely photo on mine, and you can check out the previous conversation if you haven't, or if you want to watch it again. Go check it out for more pointers, because man, the point is to always, always, always keep thinking. Always keep thinking, y'all. Bye.